I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I am a believer, not a doubter. I am a doer, not just a hearer. And my life is the better after having heard the word of faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. All right, you can go with me to Psalms 24 and 1. I'll be there in just a second. We're in a series entitled Stewardship, and this is a heavenly perspective on your earthly stuff, a heavenly perspective on your earthly stuff. It is God's desire that all of his children be financially free, but ultimately, how many know that's up to us? You got it. We have to work the word. We know the word will work if we work the word, but that is our job. Proper stewardship leads to financial freedom. And it's important to understand that proper stewardship leads to financial freedom. If I do it God's way, I'm going to get God results. When you begin to understand stewardship, there's two legs. Everybody say two legs. There's the leg of giving. You know, there's the giving component, and then there's the managing component. And if you work those things the right way, they will lead to increase in our lives. So I have the whole, you know, I understand that the tithe belongs to God, and I must give that to him, and I need to be generous, and those kind of things. And so, you know, the Bible teaches us that when you give the tenth, that the 90 is blessed, and those kind of things. But how many know that, you know, what's left over, I still have to do the right thing with it? All right. So let's just say you made $1,000 this week. That's just a good confession, isn't it? Right? Like you made $1,000 this week. Somebody said, I received that, Pastor. And so you made $1,000 this week. What's the tithe on $1,000? $100. Let's not even talk about offering. Let's just stick totally with the tithe. And so you know, the tithe is $100. How much do you have? $900. Now, that's not bad, right? And so when I give the tithe or the tenth, it is the thing that is holy. It is the accursed thing. It's the thing that's set apart. It doesn't belong to me. It belongs to God. And God says, when you give it to me, I will bless the rest. I will bless, you know, the other 90% or the 900 in this case, in this example. And so, but watch this. Even though I give the tithe, and watch this, and God blesses the rest, if I decide to go down to the mall and spend all the $900 on Monday, I can't wake up on Tuesday saying, well, God, I need you to open the windows of heaven. I need you to pour out a blessing. I need you to give me, you know, some increase. God said, I already gave you the increase, but you didn't do the right thing with it. Does that make sense? And so we have to understand that it's up to us to do the right thing. When you understand the word steward is simply a person who manages another's property or financial affairs, one who administers anything as the agent of another or others. The key to understanding stewardship is that everything belongs to God. What did Pastor just say? Everything belongs to God. Psalms 24 and 1, I told you to go there a few minutes ago. It says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell within. Everything belongs to God. My money belongs to God. My car belongs to God. My house belongs to God. Everything belongs to God, and I'm just a steward over it. And people say, well, Pastor, you know, I'm the one that worked 40 hours a week and worked hard so I could get that money. But he woke you up. He gave you strength. He gave you breath in your body to be able to function, you know. And so we have to understand that everything belongs to God. Years ago, when Lady LaConte and I, this December, will have been married 21 years. Amen. So that's an amazing thing. I was at the airport, and a guy asked me, and I told him, he was almost shocked that I was, you know, been married 21 years. I'm thinking it's because he thought I was only 23. I'm thinking that's what it was, all right? And so, but from the beginning, Lady and I have always agreed. Y'all did think I still look like I'm 23. Forget it. Don't worry about it. So Lady and I have always agreed concerning money. We've just always set our faith together that, you know, we're not going, you know, we never fought over money. You know, in the early days when first get married, you know how it is when you first get married, you don't have much and you're trying to figure things out and make things work and that kind of thing, you know. And sometimes I think people don't, you know, they're shocked that we didn't fight over money. And our whole thing is, well, why would you fight over something you don't have? At least we had each other and that was working. So we got to keep that working so we can get the rest of the stuff working. Can I get a... So we always, you know, we always said we're going to be generous. Our desire from the beginning was that we wanted to be blessed so that we could be a blessing. So the more we understood stewardship, the more we increase. Proper stewardship leads to more, all right? And the test of my stewardship is not in the big things, but it is in the small things. I'll say it again. Proper stewardship leads to more, and the test of my stewardship is not in the big things, but it is in the small things. Go over to Luke, the 16th chapter, and the 10th verse. Of course, they'll put it up on the screen. Luke 16 and 10 says, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in that which is much." In other words, if I can handle the little, I'll be able to handle the big. Right? He says, "And he that is unjust in least is also unjust in much." In other words, if I can't properly handle the small stuff, I'm probably not going to handle the big stuff right. Does that make sense? Most people don't understand that money just magnifies who you are. That's the bottom line. If you don't have two nickels to rub together, but you're a generous person, meaning, man, I'll give you one of my nickels, well, then when you get a bunch of money, you're still going to be generous. But if you're stingy and, you know, when you rub two nickels together, I'm not giving anybody these nickels. I'm trying to get me some other nickels. Then when you get a bunch of money, guess what? You're still going to be stingy. Does that make sense? So money magnifies who you are. So how you handle the $40,000 level will determine how you handle the $400,000 level or even be able to get to that. Does that make sense? Proverbs, the 28th chapter and the 20th verse, teaches us that it is all about faithfulness, that a faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he who makes haste to be rich at any cost shall not go unpunished. That is why, as believers, we walk in integrity. That is why, as believers, we do the right thing. That is why, as believers, you know, tax time is coming up, and we're going to write the right numbers and not the wrong numbers. Isn't that right? You got it? And so, yeah, because, you know, we're going to do the right thing because it's the right thing to do. Can I get a amen? All right. Faithfulness leads to abundance, but financial shortcuts lead to destruction and ruin. And so, I'm kind of a Dave Ramsey fan. I like his system. I'm like a 99% Dave Ramsey fan. There's just one or little two things that, not even that it's wrong, it's just like I just have another way based on, you know, just how I think and stuff. And so anyways, but there's one thing, one of his books I was reading, it says that personal finance is 80% behavior and only 20% knowledge. And that is actually really, really true. When it comes to money, behavior is the biggest thing. You know, like I know the iPhone 11 Pro just came out. You got it? And you want it. That's good. But your finances tell you can't have it for 3 weeks. You understand what I'm saying? And you get, I want it now. You got it? And then your spouse, whether it's, you know, your husband or your wife, depends on how y'all function, because we all function differently. You know, if your spouse says, well, babe, you can't have it right now. You know, how many know if I can't have it right now, I just can't have it right now? Like, I can't poke my lips out. I can't walk around mad. I can't say I ain't going to cook no dinner. I ain't going to take no trash out. You sure ain't getting none. Oh, I can't say that. But I mean, anyways, you know, you can't do that kind of stuff. Did he just say that? Yeah, he said it on a Sunday morning. All right? And so I've got to understand that I've got to have a discipline to do things God's way. And to the degree I do it God's way, I will get God results. Does that make sense? Everything about God is a process. Things don't happen overnight, but they happen over time. That is why the writer says, impatience possesses your soul. And so we made it up in our mind years ago. Now, we're going to follow God's plan. You got it. We're going to follow God's process. And to the degree we will follow God's plan and his process for our lives, every year things got better. You got it. We were married in 98. 99 was better than 98. 2000 was better than 99. 2001 was better than 2000. Now we're here in 2019, and life is really, really good because we did it God's way. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so I'm not going to get into this right now, but when you begin to understand how to handle your finances, number one, you give to God. You always, because he wants the first. He requires that. So you give to God, you pay your creditors, right? You save money and enjoy the rest. Some people say, I'm going to give to God and I'm going to pay me. No. You give to God and you pay your creditors. Why? Because you signed that little dotted line saying, I'm going to pay you back. And how many know that we have to have integrity and do the right thing? Isn't that right? You know, we've all heard the stories, you know, how, you know, a little kid answers the phone and, you know, it's a collector, and you go and you tell your mama, it's a bill collector on the phone. Well, tell him I ain't here. You be like, my mama said to tell you she ain't here. You know, like we don't want to do that, right? because they already called and heard your voicemail. Well, bless you, the Lord. This is Sister So-and-so. And, you know, and so you've already showed them that you're a believer. So we got to walk this thing out. Amen. All right, when it comes to money, and I get it, we don't really like people telling us about money. And I'm just telling you from a scriptural standpoint of view and a scriptural basis, because we I get it. When we were younger, our biggest desire was to be grown. Like, we didn't want mama to tell us nothing. We didn't want daddy to tell. We wanted to be grown. You got it? I just want to be grown. And then when we finally got grown, we found out grown means paying bills. Grown means being responsible. Grown means you got to really be grown. You got it? And then it's funny, you get grown and you wish you weren't grown no more. But when it comes to finances, you have to have some no matter what. So everybody say no matter what. All right. Number one, no matter what, I do not borrow unnecessary money. Can I get a amen? All right. I don't care. I don't borrow unnecessary money. There is good debt. All right, you buy a house, get a mortgage, that's good debt. You know, prayerfully you got a good interest rate, but that's good debt. So there's good debt, but there's also bad debt. But you got to understand, whether it's good or bad, the Bible declares that no matter what, that you are still servant to whom you borrowed that money from. Proverbs 22 and 7 teaches us that the rich rule over the poor and that the borrower is servant to the lender. You got it? So it doesn't matter if it's good debt or bad debt, and that is why I need to make sure that I don't borrow unnecessary debt. All right? Romans 13 and 8, the first part of that says, keep out of debt and owe no man anything except to love one another. So I just need to make sure that I'm using wisdom. You know, I need to make sure that I'm praying about big purchases. I need to make sure that I'm allowing the Holy Spirit to lead me and to guide me. Because how many know just one day with one emotional bad choice, signing the dotted line could take you 6 or 8 years to get out of? You got it. And so, you know, thank God he's a God of grace. He's a God of mercy. And he helps us that when we dig some kind of way, his mercy will help us and get us out of those situations. But at some time, I've got to get to the point where I understand God's plan for my life so I can follow it through so I could really live an incredible life. And after all, that's what God wants. He wants you to live an incredible life. All right. So that was number one. Everybody say number two. This one's real easy. No matter what, I have an emergency fund. This has to do with savings, all right? This has to do with savings. Really, I believe that you should have a savings account separate from an emergency fund, because an emergency fund is just something that you only go and get in case of emergency, all right? It is extremely imperative that you save and not spend all of your income. Having an emergency fund causes your emergency not to become a crisis. See, because if you have an emergency and you've got a fund, you can go to the fund and now you're okay. If you have an emergency and there is no fund, now you have a crisis, all right? Now you have to go ask folk, can I borrow this? And you know, it always gets funny when people start asking to borrow money from you. Can I get a big amen? Everybody say amen. You got, no, because it gets funny. You know, relationships can be destroyed over loaning money. I mean, that's just the truth. You got it. I remember I was in the early days of pastoring, and in the early days, you know, honestly, Lady LaConte and I, we financed the whole church, you know, because nobody's here, you know, and so we put $40,000 out of our own personal money initially, and of course we didn't want it back. It was not a loan; it was just a seed into the church because we believe in what God was doing and that kind of thing. And you know, and people would, you know, sometimes walk up to me, and I was a little surprised, you know, Pastor, can I borrow such and such? And I was really surprised that they would ask me to borrow money. But you know, I'm a young pastor. You got it. I'm just, you know, okay, well, praise the Lord. They must need it. You know, and somebody else would ask me, and then somebody else would ask me. And then I realized none of those people came back because they didn't have the money to pay me back. And when you borrow money and can't pay it, it messes up relationships. Does that make sense? All right. And so we need to make sure that we're giving to God, that we're saving some money, but we have to have a balance to our savings. Listen to this. One who squanders, the word squander really means waste. One who squanders lacks self-control. Would you agree with that? Yeah. One who saves has self-control. Would you agree with that? All right. But watch this. But one who hoards has greed. Hoarding dishonors God while giving honors God. So both giving, watch this, and saving should be practiced at the same time. All right? Those who save and do not give to God exemplify attributes of a hoarder. Saving in excess, you got it? The Bible talks about that. He said, I'm just going to build bigger barns. He didn't want to be generous. He just wanted to keep everything to himself. And then he says, hey, your soul is required of you, so you can't really do anything with all those bigger barns. So saving in excess is a sign of fear. It's a sign of greed. It's a sign of lack of trust, of love of money. And so we've got to make sure that we have a balance to everything that we do. All right. Giving proves to God that you trust him, while being a good steward of the rest puts you in a position to receive more. And so you have to understand, if I do it God's way, I'll get God results. And we have to learn to discipline ourselves, because it's easy, you know, just to run out and get this and run out and get this. But you know, especially with big purchases, my first question is, have you prayed about it? You got it. Do you have a budget? Can you really afford it? You know, when you go down to the car lot, you know, there's a difference between being approved and afford, right? Y'all do know that, right? like you go down and you know, okay, me and Lady know we can afford a car for $25,000. So let's say we're just going and we're trying to stay within our budget of $25,000, okay? And so we get there. Right, and the gentleman or the lady, whoever's showing us, you know, the car and everything, you know, and they say, oh, but you would look really good in that car. I might look good in the car, but can I afford the car? That's like walking around with a really expensive purse and having no money in the purse. I'd rather get a purse from the dollar store and have all kind of money in the purse. Does that make any sense? You got it? So wisdom is the principal thing. And so, you know, and so just because I'm approved for, you know, $45,000 doesn't mean I can afford $45,000. I can afford $25,000 because I need margin. And that's something you got to learn in your life, the word margin. You got it? What is margin, Pastor? What you've got left over after you pay everything. You got it? And I believe in margin. You got it? I believe margin is the will of God. If I have margin, I can be generous. If I have margin, I can give to others. If I have margin, I just feel better if I have margin. Doesn't that make sense? I know some people, they don't believe in that. Well, you don't have to believe in that. I feel better when I have margin. I feel better when, after all the bills have been paid, I can look at my bank account and say, well, look what the Lord has done. Like, I feel better about that. Isn't that right? Yeah, somebody told me it's unscriptural to feel better if you have margin, because the Bible says that the joy of the Lord is my strength. But I feel stronger when I see them numbers. You understand what I'm saying? just playing. All right. Everybody say number three. No matter what. What did I say? No matter what, my spouse and I agree on big purchases. Is this blessing anybody? I really hope this is helping you. No matter what, my spouse and I agree on big purchases. Let me help you, husband and wives. Agreement is the keeper of peace. Agreement is the keeper of peace. And so it is important that we agree. You know, we made it up in our mind. We're never going to buy what we can't afford, because it demonstrates bad decision making. All right. And so, you know, not everybody, but some people have to get delivered from the monster called more. You got it. I got 72 pair of shoes, but I need 72 more. You got it. And that's, I'm not knocking the women, because nowadays y'all know men have that many pair of sneakers. You understand? So that goes both ways now. Oh, yeah, it does. And so that is why the Bible teaches us to learn to be content. So he wants us to live a good life. He wants us to be happy. He wants us to have more than enough. But we've got to understand that God's put a plan in place. You got it. And to the degree we'll follow this plan, it'll work for us. Years ago, I was what you call a calculator man. I used to carry a calculator with me. And in the early days, because my wife and I couldn't afford a whole lot of stuff, you know, and she was like, hey, babe, can I get this comforter at Kmart for $79? Yeah, babe, you can get it. You understand what I'm saying? Because I'm just making sure that we're not making an emotional decision. I'm making sure we're going to have enough to the end. You know, hey, babe, daddy and mama said they're going to Georgia. Can we go? No, babe, we can't go this time. You understand? But because we did it God's way, you got it. And you have to understand, God honors good stewardship. That's why you have the guy with the one talent, the two talents, and the five talents. The one talent, he did not do the right thing. The guy with the two and the guy with the five did it right. So he took the one from the guy and gave it to the guy with the five. And most people that are carnal minded say, well, that's just the problem. The rich get richer and the poor get poorer. That has nothing to do with that scripture. That has everything to do with, because I handled it right, God blessed me with more. Does that make sense? And so you have to make it up in your mind that if I handle it right, God is going to bless me with more. Amen? And there's nothing wrong with having more. You got, I believe in stewardship. I believe in discipline. I believe in having the right behavior. But I do believe that God wants you to have more, and this is how you do it. All right? All right, last point. Everybody say number four. Oh, I got some good time. I can work on this one. All right, no matter what, I give a tenth of my income to my local church. Now, this is not pastor's point. This is God's point. You got it? We see tithing all through Scripture. I've taught on tithing. Tithing wasn't just during the law. It was before the law. It was after the law. You got it? Malachi 3 is one that we always go to because it's kind of like the famous, you know, Scripture. Jesus talks about the tithe. I mean, it's just all through Scripture. Malachi 3 and 6 says, "For I am the Lord, and I do not change." And it's important to understand that he is the Lord, and he's not going to change his mind about a lot of things, all right? So he says, "I'm the Lord, and I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob." He says, "From the days of your fathers, you have gone away from my ordinances." Now, remember that word ordinance, because it's very important. "And have not kept them." Watch what he says. He says, "Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts." But you said, "In what way shall we return?" He says, "Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me." He says, "But you say, Lord, in what way have you robbed me?" And he answers, "In tithes and in offering." He says, "You are cursed with the curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation." Now, I want you to understand something here. He says, "You are cursed with the curse." Notice he didn't say, "I'm going to curse you." Because God doesn't want you under the curse. He wants you blessed. All right? So he says, "You voluntarily are under a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation." Now he says, let's fix this thing. He says, "Bring all the tithe into the storehouse." The storehouse is the local church. What is the storehouse? The storehouse is the local church. It's not some guy that you heard on the radio, nothing wrong with that, on TV, and you know, and you got so excited, and I'm just going to send them my tithe. No, the tithe comes into the local church. When I go on the road, I was just on the road recently, as y'all know, I've been gone, had some incredible services, and just been amazing, and I remember at one of the services, I told him, and this is because of an experience I had. I've had people, they inbox me. You know, social media is a crazy thing now, and so that they inbox me, and you were such a blessing, and I want to start sending my tithe to your church. Absolutely not. You have your own church where you have a man and woman of God who are feeding you week in and week out. Your tithe ought to go into that church. Isn't that right? So I publicly, you know, I was at a church. I mean, it was going amazing. You got it? I'm preaching several services. And then the Holy Spirit just, I don't know, he just says, "And tell them." And so I was like, "And by the way, the tithe belongs in this house." I said, "I don't care how much you love me, how much you thought I was an incredible speaker, because I'm here to tell you, when somebody needs to get married, I'm not flying back to marry them. When somebody has a funeral, I'm not flying back to bury them. When you need marriage counseling, but your man and woman of God will always be here to help you. The tithe goes into the local church." Amen? Yeah. So as he says, you know, "Bring y'all the tithe into the storehouse, to the local church, that there may be meat in my house," which is the church. He says, "And try me." The King James says, "Prove me." The NIV says, "Test me." This is the only place in Scripture where God says you can test him on it. So he says, "Test me," or "Prove me," or "Try me now, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not do some incredible things just because you obeyed me, because I'm really not after your money, I'm after your heart. Because where a man's treasure is, there is his heart also." You can look at my checkbook and tell where my heart is. It's with WLCC. It is with Lady LaConte. It's with Lady LaConte. It's with Lady LaConte and Lady LaConte. That's not a bad thing. So don't take that the wrong way. That's a good thing. You understand what I'm saying? You got it? And it's also with us being generous to other people. You will see that. You got it? We're super, super, super generous. All right? And so it is a matter of the heart. You got it? So God, watch this. He's not after your money. He's after your heart. He wants you to say, "God, I'm all in. I trust you with every area of my life. I don't just trust you with my marriage. I don't just trust you with my children. I don't just trust you with this, but I even trust you with my finances. I trust you with everything. So I'm yours, Lord. Everything I've got, everything I am, everything I'm not, I'm going to do it your way so I can get your results in my life." That's a good place to clap right there, isn't it? So he begins to tell him, you know, I started ad-libbing a little bit, so let me get back to the scripture. He says, I will now open the windows of heaven and pour you out such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive. The blessing, singular, is the anointing to prosper, which brings all the blessings, plural, that you could ever need in your life. He says, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, so he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts, and all nations will call you blessed. And that is the will of God, that people look at you and say, they are blessed. That my giving is not just about getting money back, but my giving puts me in covenant with God. And now because I'm in covenant with God, he ain't just blessing my bank account. He's blessing my marriage. He's blessing my children. He's blessing me on my job. He's blessing my business. My body is healed. My mind is alert. Because I'm in covenant with God, he's taking care of everything for me. That's good teaching right there all by itself. Amen. Just look at someone. Say, that young man's back and he's teaching already. He's really teaching this morning. All right. So he says, you have gone away from my own. Look at how time flies. I'm having fun, so time is flying, all right? He says, you have gone away from my ordinances. Tithing is an ordinance. Pastor, what is an ordinance? An ordinance is a principle of ordinary behavior. It was ordinary for the people of God to thank God for their income and increase. It was ordinary for them to bring the first. You got it? It was ordinary that if they got, you know, if you got 10 $100 bills, which one belongs to God? The first $100. It was ordinary. So the Bible says if I tithe, I'm under the blessing. If I don't tithe, I'm under the curse. If I tithe, I'm under the blessing. If I don't tithe, I'm under the curse. If I tithe, I'm under the blessing. You know, it's like you want to say, I'm not a smart man, but I do want to be blessed. You know what I mean? Like it works. You got it. It works. And here's the key. You got to learn how to start trusting God as your source. Let's go home, Courtney. Yeah, I think that's good. I had a little illustration, but I really think that's good. I want to talk to you about that for the next few minutes. I get money can be funny. I get it, you know, in certain situations, and this happens and that happens, and sometimes you have people and they'll tithe and then things don't go right, so they'll stop tithing. But what we don't understand is if things are going good and then I hit a bump, I don't stop tithing. I choose to continue to tithe and trust God through the process, that he's going to open the windows of heaven, that he's going to pour out a blessing. See, when I give, it's a matter of trusting God. That God is going to take care of me, that no matter what comes and no matter what goes, he's going to make sure that I'm okay. It's like the guy that goes and he takes this big old pail to the river and he gets a whole bunch of water and he brings it back to the house. And, you know, little by little, they start using it. The wife is using it to clean with, and, you know, and the kids are using it for whatever. And as the water begins to diminish, he doesn't get upset. He doesn't get frustrated because he knows where what he got came from. He can go right back to the river. He can go right back to the source. When you have put all of your trust and reliance in God, and you've made a commitment to be in covenant with God and do it his way, then when what you have on hand gets a little bit lower than you want it to, you don't have to get upset, you don't have to get frustrated, you don't have to, you know, you don't have to start fussing with your spouse, because you know where what you got came from. You can go right back to the river. You can go right back to Jehovah Jireh, the Lord that always provides. And so I challenge you today to do it God's way. If you do it God's way, you will get God results. I challenge you, if you're a tither and you tithe consistently, except when you hit bumps, I pray you don't hit a bump, but let's just be honest. Sometime that happens. You got it? That's just the natural part of life. But next time you hit a bump, I challenge you. Don't fall back, but keep doing what his word says and watch how God will bless you. Maybe you're a person that I don't tithe at all. I just challenge you, take the next 6 months. He said it, not me. He said, prove me, put me to the test. See if I won't open the windows of heaven. See if I won't pour you out a blessing. But let me tell you, when you do this challenge thing, you know, that I'm talking about doing it in faith. Not having the attitude, okay, God, okay, well, I'm going to do what the young preacher said. I'm going to give you 6 months. We're going to see what you do now. If it don't work, I'm getting my money back. Just keep it, because that's the wrong attitude. But what I'm saying is, God, I'm taking this next 6 months and I'm trusting you. I'm trusting your word, that your word is true. I'm trusting with the, you know, I'm trusting that you're not a man that should lie, nor the son of man that should repent. I'm trusting that you really came that I might have life and have it more abundantly. And I'm going to start working your plan. And as I start working your plan, I think that things are going to unfold in my life. What am I doing now? I'm approaching it with faith. I'm approaching it with the understanding that I know that this works. The word will work if you work the word. The word will work if you work the word. The word will work if you work the word. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Believers are praying all over the building. If I could get nobody moving except just a few people that we have to move.